just how much I missed you. Mama Mia.
Mama Mia.
Does it show again?
Does it show again? Mama.
Just how much I missed you.
Have you seen
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert?
No.
I need you
what
to.
Is that?
It is from like 1995 or 96. It has Hugo Weaving. And it is him and two of his friends. They're drag queens in the Australian outback. And they get back together and they go on tour. And it's amazing. And one of the characters, it's been years since I've watched it, one of the characters is like this young, fun 20-something who's like obsessed with ABBA. And then one of them is like in their 40s or 50s and she's like, no. And there's a part where the younger one is like blasting ABBA, being really obnoxious. And then the older one is just like, no more fucking ABBA. And it's one of my favorite. It's just, it's a wonderful movie. It's full of ABBA.
You just, first of all, you know I love ABBA. You just described what my relationship with Garrett is like. Also, if we want to talk about Hugo Weaving, have you seen this video that's floating around the internet that I've been sending you clips of that I don't know if you're seeing, but I need you to see because it's Mayday, Mayday, Red Alert, but it's a rap, a Lord of the Rings rap.
Yes! Is this the one with Elijah Wood and Sean
all
Astin?
Of them.
Yes.
All of them, they're in it.
And Stephen Colbert. Isn't it as well?
Yep.
It's been 20 years. I'm still in love with Elijah Wood. Like, I love a short
really?
King. Yes. I was in love with Elijah Wood. Like, obsessed with him when I was 13.
I was more for Sam. I just love like a good hearted, funny potato loving motherfucker.
Yeah. Well, there's that wonderful meme that's like when you're in your teens, like Legolas, you're like, I'm going to marry him. He's so hot. And then you get into like your 20s and you're like, oh my God, arrogant, like Aragorn, so hot, blah, blah, blah. And then you get into your 30s and you're like banging pots and pans. Samwise Gamgee is husband goals. Like that. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, Sam is obviously the most suitable companion for anybody.
I bet he's a good cuddler.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And Sean Astin's, like, what a gem of a human.
I bet Sean Astin's a good cuddler.
Yeah, probably.
Welcome to the P&E.
Welcome to the P&E. Speaking of Sean Astin, bringing it back to Brendan Fraser in Encino Man. Like, two of
classic.
Our lovely, lovely celebrity obsessions are... in that gem of a film. Anyway, welcome to the P&E. I'm Lex.
I'm Julia. And we started this podcast out talking about Encino Man. So it makes sense that we finish off our first year talking about Encino Man.
I forgot that we talked about Encino Man in our first episode of this year.
Oh, I've never forgotten.
Excellent. Yes. I love that. Is this our last episode of the year?
No, we have one more after this, but it's close
bookend,
enough to
bookend.
The end.
Yeah,
close
enough to the end. Wow. Look at us.
Yeah. I know.
What a journey. Beautiful.
I know. No. We're growing up. Our podcast is, what is it? A toddler? No. Is it a toddler?
Yeah?
No.
I don't know. It's a toddler. It's
learning.
It's
not a
to...
newborn anymore.
Yeah, she's okay. She's a little over a year, so she's learning to walk if she isn't already walking. Except apparently, I was watching a video on Twitter that this person, their baby is like 7 months old or maybe younger and already walking. And like babies usually don't start walking until I think they're like a minimum like 9 months, and this baby's like maybe 6 months, six or seven. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, there's something wrong with these quarantine babies. Like, they're grown. Oh, shit.
Damn.
So are babies. What I'm
babies
saying,
terrify me.
They're little aliens. So depending, because this is a quarantine baby podcast, so maybe she's already, like, running a marathon. I don't know.
We're not even running marathons.
I am, like, not even running... a block. Are you kidding me? I hate running. I'm gonna go on a run later this weekend. Why? I don't know. I hate it.
How did you get bamboozled into that?
I've been telling myself, like, you might enjoy it. Give it another go. Let's see what happens. I'm probably gonna have a bad time. I'll let you know.
Well, listen, go into it with a positive attitude.
No.
And just, okay. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life.
It's one of those things, I in all seriousness, I hate running while I'm doing it, but usually I really like the feeling afterwards, because it, for me, I always have like a lot of just like energy that I want to get out, and running's mm-hmm. a good way to like blast through a lot of that very quickly. So,
see, yeah. You're already trying to talk yourself into it.
I know. I'm trying to be positive about it, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
You know what you don't have to talk me into?
Is it Carissa?
Sitting down with Carissa and having yep. a delightful conversation. Our guest.
Uh-huh. Correct. Correct. She's a gem and she's wonderful. Yes. Nice. She started out as a visual artist, and now she does photography, and she's becoming a makeup artist, mm-hmm. and just has such a wonderful, beautiful journey, and mm-hmm. is talking to us about it today, and we are so honored to have her on the show.
Yeah. I love her story, because she talks about how she was kind of so certain about wanting to do something like mm-hmm. being a painter, and then kind of taking this very twisty, turny way of getting to where she is now and ending up with photography, and now, you know, leaving behind the West Coast and moving to New York to pursue being a makeup artist full time without any real kind of roots there, mm-hmm. and how she's just making bold strokes on her life. And it is so incredible to hear, because I feel like so many times I'll like take, for example, for me, since I want to be a filmmaker, I'll look at these other filmmakers and it's like, oh yeah, like went to Harvard, like went to Tisch, like mm-hmm. knew what they wanted to do from the time they were an infant, and like did the thing and then did the steps, and there was like this straight path, and I'm like, that's not my path. Is there any hope for me?
Yes.
And so thank you. And so to like see her and see her work and just like no, you know, as we were talking to her, I'm like, she's gonna make it. Like, she just has that presence, and her work is of such an incredible caliber that I have no doubt she's gonna make it. And she just brings such an incredible attitude to it all. And she talks a lot about manifestation and things like that. And yeah, it's, I think we need more examples of that, more examples of people who maybe took detours or took breaks or took wrong turns that seemed wrong, but ended up getting them right where they needed to be. Because yeah. I know a lot of our listeners can relate to that, as can yeah. I.
And the same as can I. Yeah. Yeah, it's also like, I think it's so impressive listening to her talk about when she was in high school and got into photography and was like booking these really big jobs. But
yeah.
And essentially what she was getting at was like that beginner's mindset of like, you don't know any better, so you just go for it. And I think yeah. going back to what you were talking about of like that feeling of, is there any hope for me? Right. Mm-hmm. I think part of that is through life experience, and not even life experience, just being beaten down by society. You're sort of told like, you can't do any of these things unless you have this, like, exactly, unless you have this like massive resume or whatever. Yeah. But it really is like beginner's mindset that I think that's where far more growth happens, because there's just a curiosity that pulls you forward and you just go, well, fuck it. I'm just going to do it anyway. Like, yeah. I'll just figure it out and I will give it a shot. And you kind of lose that as you get older, because it gets people try to, you know, take that curiosity away from you. And but it sounds like she's always just stayed very connected to that, which is a lesson I think we can all learn from and try to take that advice forward with us.
100%. Yeah, I love it. I love it. We had some deep cuts in this one, and I hope that you all enjoy it, because this was a fun, emotional at times conversation. But that's what we do. Vulnerable conversations with creatives here at the Peony. Love
Ayo.
It.
Hell yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Carissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm excited to talk to you. I think we're both excited to talk to you, because you... What's so unique about your journey is you kind of knew you were going to be an artist from early on. You got your BFA. You've been doing this art, this photography, and now you're kind of going into a second act, moving across the country, becoming a makeup artist. And so we get to see you at both stages and kind of talk to you about what it's been like for you. And we're going to get into all of that. I want to skip back all the way to the beginning and ask you, is there a prominent first memory that you might have of when the love for art sparked for you, or when you decided like, oh yes, this is what fills me up. This is what I want to pursue.
Yeah. I feel like it's just kind of been ingrained in me. Like as a kid, I always went for the box of crayons, or I remember having this small little wooden table and chairs, like these tiny, tiny chairs for tiny artists like me. And I would sit at that table and just like scribble and draw and draw and draw and draw. And the other thing that I was thinking about just now is how those memories are so tied to like home videos. I don't think I would remember them otherwise because I was just so young and it just started so early on. Yeah, and I would just like draw pictures for family members and like give people like little art gifts and stuff. So wholesome, so cute. Things have changed.
Let's talk about that. How have they changed?
I don't know. It's just been such a wild journey going from doing art as something that was just like freedom of expression, which it still very much is now. But now that I've tied like business into it, I've gone through this whole journey of like developing this pretty complicated relationship with my art making practice. And yeah, especially over the pandemic, like I spent so much time alone that it's changed my whole outlook on art making and exposed a lot of like of the weak points, or I guess, I don't know.
What are some of the things it exposed for you?
I was a pretty introverted kid. I mean, I definitely took part in sports and stuff and, you know, liked to do those types of things. I mean, still to this day, like my social battery like depletes like pretty quickly and I have to like retreat inward, and a lot of times needed an excuse to do that, or I got bored because I don't know, I just like knew I needed to be alone or something, but wanted to do something and make it worthwhile and fun. So I would, you know, I feel like it's like kind of like a stereotypical like thing. You think about artists, they're like, oh, they're so moody and secluded, but like, I don't know, I was kind of an introverted kid and just wanted to, I just like spent a lot of time drawing and spending a lot of time alone, like doing a skill, like you get a little better at it each time. Or you find different things that you like. And yeah, over the pandemic, or we're still in a pandemic, but the beginning of the pandemic, when things were a little more unknown, I had to adapt my practice a lot. So I started doing these spray painting, layered paintings before the pandemic. And then when we were in lockdown, I had to find ways to adapt that. And I started making jewelry out of clay, and I started painting with acrylic. And then I got sucked into YouTube. And I was like, wow, makeup is just like painting. It's like exploring these different textures and different mediums. And it's like the same thing, only now my canvas can talk back to me and tell me I'm terrible. And it's not just my own. or I'm glad there's feedback.
Yeah.
There's feedback. It's a different experience. Yeah. And I'm not alone all the time, which I think like was something that I really needed as a young kid. But then with so much isolation, doing now that like we're able to like meet safely, we're all vaccinated and all of those things, I'm craving more one-on-one time with people. And this is like a way I can get like my creative expression out and still connect with other people.
When did you pivot to photography? Also, hold on, very quickly. I've heard people pronounce it photographer, which is phonetically, and I've heard people say photographer, which I know I've heard a lot of people pronounce it that way, what? And it makes my skin crawl a little bit. But I'm wondering, like, is that the right way to pronounce? No,
okay. I don't think so. Okay.
Like, yeah. There's an R in there.
Yeah,
photographer. That's
and I've no. heard professional photographers pronounce it that way. Like, I'm a photographer, and I'm like, huh?
I wonder if that's like a dialect thing. Like, if they're from certain parts of the country, it's like if you're from Jersey, the way you say milk is like milk, like it's, you know, different. Apparently, the way I say it, I sound like I'm from Jersey. I don't know.
Out of all the words you could have chosen, milk.
Milk is one. Forward is another one. Like, some people say like
forward.
The way, yeah, the way the way forward, it's spelled like is there an R in there? They like there's another sound happening, and I always try to say it that way, and I'm like, how do you say it? Like
forward,
forward. No, there's like another sound that gets added in, like forward. Like they are using the R forward, and I'm like, what? And then I freak out. And I'm like, am I saying it wrong? Probably. I say a lot of words wrong. So I don't know. Anyway, that's all to say. Maybe the people who are saying photographer. Have a particular dialect happening. Okay. Or not. So, I can't. I don't know. I'm trying to justify something I can't. So.
Photo taker. Frodo taker. When did you decide to become a Frodo taker?
When did you decide to go on your quest to Mordor?
I was a young little lad. No. I think in high school, like, I always knew I was like really interested in art. Like, that was, like I mentioned before, is very much ingrained and just something that happened naturally. And in high school, I started taking a graphic design class, and I learned a lot of skills and around like editing photos, creating different layouts, and just learning the basics of like Photoshop and all of those programs. And it was a really fun class. And sometimes the kids from around the corner in the classroom, up the hallway, we would collaborate with the photography class, and they would come in, and I would just be so interested in what they were doing, because there was a whole dark room. There was a studio, there was studio lighting. And I tried really hard to get into that class for like 2 years, and I finally got in. I think there was also this little voice in my head, like, how do I create like a sustainable something for myself and make money in high school, which is insane. I was like, that's so crazy that I was thinking about that. So I was like, this is how you can make money, like doing something creative. Like I didn't know about being a designer. That seemed kind of boring to me, or, you know, I just didn't really have a concept of what kinds of things artists could do as a career beyond just making original works and, you know, putting them out into the world and selling them. And so I finally got into that class, had a really amazing experience. My photography teacher, Steve Baljack, who's a really great local Bay Area photographer, he just like offered so many resources. And I was also into modeling at that time. And my mom had a DSLR camera that I like definitely borrowed/stole a few times into some rogue like photo shoots. Like, and I realized how much creativity there was in producing photo shoots and producing fashion photo shoots and stuff. So I would just like kind of gather up my friends and be like, hey, like, I have this weird idea. Let's go take some cool pictures at Lake Chabot or something, like out in the forest over there, or, we would just go and do it. And I would plan all of the things. Like, I would try and get stylists. I got on a Model Mayhem, and like, I even started photographing some models that were signed with agencies when I was in high school, which is feels crazy to say out loud. I mean, I wasn't ever like a agency represented photographer, but I had such a great teacher that he like showed me this is how this world could work. Like, you just have to email them and show up and, you know, deliver a great experience. And it was just fun. So I just kept doing that. And then I went to college and I was like, wow, this is a lot of work. A lot of work to produce, yeah. to like think of a concept, to reach out to a model, to schedule everything. So I was doing all of that as a young kid, which it's such a task to me now that I'm like, it's really insane to me that I was even doing that at that age. But I had to, like, things happen in life. And so I was going to college, and I got burnt out by the idea of trying to continue photography. I still loved it and took other classes in college, but I switched to visual art, like a different visual art medium, drawing and painting. I took more art history classes. I was also, my mom went to college like later in life, and I was like, I feel like I was kind of the first person to go to college at my age, and figuring out what that was like was tricky, and figuring out like, oh, I actually need to go talk to my counselors. And like me, this introverted person, I don't want to talk to anybody. I just figured it out on my own. And that's not really how that works. Like, you should definitely be talking to your counselors and figuring out your schedule. Like, that's pretty key. But that's kind of where I broke away from photo when I got into college, because it was such a big commitment time-wise and energy-wise.
It's crazy that we make people decide when they're teenagers, like, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? Like, pick a major, pick a this, pick a that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, and I didn't even know what my major was until like year three of college, when I already transferred over to SF State.
Yeah. I did the whole college thing, ended up graduating early, was so very sure of what I wanted to do, because I had this end goal in mind, right? Like, oh, I was going to go to law school. This is what I was going to do. This is what I planned on doing since I was a child, coming from an immigrant family that wanted me to be financially stable. And I have an undergraduate degree in political science. I can't tell you shit about politics aside from Teddy Roosevelt was a badass and the Electoral College is an outdated sham of an institution. That's it. That's all I can tell you. And yet I have this degree. And now at the age of 32, I'm taking classes at the local junior college and all of the things I ever wanted to study the first time around, but either didn't, like, I felt like it was too frivolous for me. I felt like, oh, same thing. Like, I don't know how I'm going to make money studying these things. This isn't a time, college is expensive. This isn't a time for me to study what I want. It's a time for me to get the things under my belt that will, you know, make me stable or get me the job. And now I'm taking these classes on screenwriting and filmmaking and all of these things that I've always wanted to learn. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, no. And I can approach it more as like, I don't care what grade I make. What am I taking out of this experience? What am I taking out of it that will be sustainable for me, that will make me want to continue to come to this even after the class is over? And so, yeah, I feel like now that I'm coming at it later in life, I'm like, oh, I know how to approach this in a way that works for me, but also I know how to use this, because ultimately, like, we're paying them for a service. Like, they're working for us. Why are we getting all bent out of shape about like, oh, I have to perform and I have to do this and I have to get this grade and I have to get approval and my professor has to like me. It's like, no, bitch, I'm paying you. Like, it's up to me what I get out of the experience. And I feel like now that I'm older and I have more confidence in myself, I can demand that. So yeah, it's fascinating to me that we like send people off to college at, you know, 17, 18, 19. And it's like, go ahead, decide what you're going to do for the rest of your life and don't fuck it up.
Yeah, insane. Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool.
Also, no one ever finds a job that's in line with their major. Like, it's very rare.
Nope.
You go through such a journey, like, trying to figure out what that is. And there's this weird pressure put on students to be like, you need to pick this major so that you can have this kind of job. But mm-hmm. that doesn't make any sense at all. Like, I think another way of looking back on my college experience, like a different perspective that I have on it now, is there's no time wasted. Like, even though, I mean, I did end up pursuing art, like I'm going for that now because I have to. I feel like I have to. Like all of those moments. So it took me 7 years to graduate because I was so in my head about picking the right major. You know, I dropped out of college for a semester or two and I was like, this isn't for me. I'm going to go. I worked as a school photographer. So I did yearbook photos, and that was the hardest job. Oh my God.
For like what age?
I think I was like 19 or something like that. 19 or 20.
For high schoolers or?
Yeah, like what? High schoolers all and age, all grade schoolers. God. Yeah, I worked for this like local company and we would meet in like Hayward or something. I forget where it actually was. And sometimes the call times were like 4 a.m. You have to get there at 4 a.m. because you have to be there with your whole team. You have to load all of the gear into the van, which is like heavy and just very clunky and annoying. And then you have to drive around the Bay Area to the different schools, set up all the gear. And then, you know, all the students will come in like high energy and like ready to take their photo. Or you'll get the kids that are just like very nervous and uncomfortable. I mean, we all remember picture day. It wasn't really the most fun of times. Like, so nope. I'm trying to make this experience like fine for both of us, but really I'm like dying inside because I've been up since 4 a.m. like the entire week. And and then I was like, you know, I think I'm gonna go back to college. I think, you know,
that was less painful.
Yeah, I like picking my schedule. That seems really nice. But I still picked photo, which was interesting. So that was a cool, I think it was an important part of the journey. But I forgot what I was talking about. I put so much pressure on myself to pick the right major that it took me so long to graduate from college. And this new perspective that I have on it now is that there's no time wasted and that all of it together, you've learned something from that, that you're applying to whatever part of your life you're in now, like whether you like it or not. So they're all just puzzle pieces. So you can't, there was so much pressure on myself that I was putting on myself to do the right thing that it quote unquote delayed me, but not really, because everyone just shows up where they need to be at the right time. And now I feel really excited about where I am. So had anything changed, who knows? Who knows what would have happened?
Fair point. Fair point. I feel like, to go back to what you were saying about being, you know, a high schooler and working with these agency models and just doing all of these things in retrospect, you're like, wow, like what? I feel like that's the thing that kind of sometimes hurts us, is when we get in our head in the moment. I think the most amazing things that we accomplish are when we don't know any better. Like when we naively go into something, we don't research it, we don't get in our head, we just jump in and then we're like, okay, I have to make sense of this. That's, for me, that's always been kind of the ways that I've done the most or taken the most steps forward or accomplished something that I'm actually like really excited and proud of. Whereas when I stop and I'm like, okay, well, there are other people doing this and they're doing it this way. And okay, how do I, like, what do I do? How do I be better? Or how do I set myself apart? Or am I good enough? And then you like spiral into the whole like self-worth, at least I do. And that's where it that's where like the dangerous part of our mind is, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause when you're new to something, like you're saying, you don't know any better. So you just do what feels right. You just kind of follow your impulse and it leads you somewhere in a lot of ways, like really beautiful. And I think it's also like when you're new at something, you don't know the like quote unquote right way to do it. So you're not, you don't have anything to compare your current experience against, like with acting. So often like new actors, like brand new baby actors, kill it. Like they do such a great job because they're not in their heads about it. They're like, I don't know, I'm just going to do it and see what happens. And then it's like the more you do it, the more you start to get in your head about it because you're like, well, wait, like the first time I ever did a scene, I just like kind of, I was just winging it and it went so well. But like, how do I do that? You're like always trying to chase that first like moment of glory. Mm-hmm. You're trying to recreate that feeling. And that's where you wind up in your head because it's like, well, no, you can't go back to that. You have to move forward, but hopefully you can find that sweet spot.
Yeah, that's so crazy because over the pandemic, I took a break from painting because I'm very lucky to have been going to therapy for the past 2 years, which is great, and I'm very excited about that. And I learned so much about myself in that process. And realized how much of like me retreating as like a really introverted kid was tied to my art practice. I never really thought about that before. And I discovered that. And that was it was cool to know, but it was also kind of like soured the painting experience for me on the other end. And I got stuck in that moment. In that thought for a while. And instead of looking at it as a flip side, as like, this was something that was there for me, I looked at it as something as like, this is something that I had to do. And I got stuck in that place and started getting really upset. I couldn't get back into the flow of things, which I think is what you're talking about, like as an actor. Mm-hmm. Once you're in the flow of something, you're always chasing it. You're always longing it. You're always like wanting to get back there. And I got so stuck in my own head. I was getting in my own way of getting back into the flow of painting. I'm on my way to like getting back there. I started like forcing myself to go to the studio when I have like a free moment and trying to just keep going. But it's weird. It's weird these relationships that we develop with our practices over time that are like, I mean, it's like having a toxic lover sometimes, like this relationship and something that like was so beautiful and like easy as a kid has changed so much over time, for better and for like worse, I guess.
Do you meditate?
I should. I try to. It's so hard.
It's very hard. It's very hard. I'm learning that you just have to find what works for you. So there are so many different types out there, right? There's like the silent one. There's like the guided one. There's one I found recently where they do like guided to instrumental contemporary like R&B and hip hop. And so you kind of like get in the moment and get into your breathing with that. So there are different styles, but what I found for me is I was going through that as well of like my inspiration wouldn't show up, or I would sit down to write something and I would stare at the blank page and be like, wow, I suck. And when I started meditating, it kind of unlocked my mind and it freed the space for me for something to come up. Like it basically opened me to it instead of being like, where are you, inspiration? I have to do this thing, putting all this pressure. It just brought me to this present space of openness. And what I have found is I'm working on a screenplay right now. And when I sit down to meditate, it opens me up. And towards the end of that practice, I only do it like 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. But towards the end of that practice, it opens me up enough that one or more of the characters will kind of like yell at me. It's kind of like who will yell the loudest. And sometimes one voice comes up greater than the other voices. And then I sit down afterwards, I open the page, and I just write whatever that character needs to tell me. And I don't care, like, that it's not the next scene in the screenplay, or it's not, you know, whatever. I just literally just get it on the page. And slowly my story has been coming to me in this way, in these kind of fragmented ways. And I know that once I get everything out, then I can kind of put it together, put the puzzle together, weave it through, like, polish it. But right now, what meditating has helped me with is kind of help me listen to those voices. So that's why I asked.
That's really cool. I can't wait to read your story when it when it is finished, when you feel it is complete. I will be bugging.
I will send it to you. Great. I will send it to you. I promise. I promise. Yeah. Also, what is your sign? I need to know.
I'm an Aries.
You're an Aries. Okay. Yeah. When's your birthday?
April 7th.
April 7th. Okay.
Yes.
So, okay. Very cool. We should introduce you to our friend Yasmin, who is also an Aries, and she does these really amazing, she does a lot of digital art, and she does these really amazing comics and designs these really great journals, and they're all about inclusive female empowerment. So,
wow, I love yeah. that.
Anyway.
Please do.
I love an Aries energy. It's very fiery. It's very fiery.
Yes. It comes out sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then yeah. I was actually thinking about this other day. I was like, I wonder how much of me knowing I'm an Aries has, like, made those traits, I've just really leaned into them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll never know that. But I subscribe to them. Yeah. I like to speak my mind. Something that I've grown into. I've definitely grown into my Aries traits.
Yeah. I love that.
I'm a Capricorn, and for the longest time I was like, I hated Capricorns because the stereotype, right? Like, they're kind of boring. They only care about money and, like, very materialistic, mm-hmm. super stubborn. And I was like, excuse me? No. And because I was supposed to be born in February, and I was like, I think I'm actually an Aquarius at heart, blah, blah, blah. And then as I got older and, like, learned more about Capricorns, I was like, oh, I'm a, like, stereotypical Capricorn in a lot of ways, like the stubbornness being one. I agree with that. Like, how much of it is, like, as you embrace it, you start to take on those traits, or how much of it is, like, you had those traits and you just kind of get more comfortable with them as you get a little bit older. But it's, I always think it's so fascinating. Like, sometimes when you meet somebody and you're like, I have a feeling that you might be in this. It's a fun game to play.
I'm an Aquarius, and I get in my head all the time that I'm not being weird enough to own my Aquarius. Mm. Like, I'm like, this feels a little vanilla. Let's spice this up. How do we turn this into the spaghetti from Elf?
Oh, God.
You're welcome.
No.
Tell me that's not the perfect, like, metaphor for an Aquarius.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Also, favorite Christmas movie. That movie is so funny to me. Every year it brings me joy. Yeah.
I mean, if we want to talk about fucking screenplays that nailed it, the jokes on jokes on jokes. I love them. Although Santa. I have to say my favorite is The Holiday. I'm a sucker for, like, a holiday rom-com. Mm-hmm. Have you seen The Holiday with it's a rom-com from Nancy Myers, who's done a lot of really cute stuff, and it's Jude Law and Cameron Diaz. And basically Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet are going through these.
Excuse me, you cut out two of the other greatest,
like, oh, I was planning on getting there. I was
okay,
not finished.
I was like, how dare.
First of all, you know, I'm getting defensive now because, you know, there was no way. I like to save the best for last. There was no way I was leaving Jack Black out of this because, you know, he's my number one celebrity crush. I'm marrying a man that looks just like him for obvious reasons. But basically, what's her face and Kate Winslet. Sorry, Cameron. Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet are going through these existential crises. They have these dead-end love lives. They're successful career women but have dead-end love lives, and they decide to house swap for the holidays, for Christmas. And so Cameron goes to England and Kate comes to LA. And while they're there, they kind of just learn more about themselves, get out of their comfort zones, immerse themselves in the communities. Cameron Diaz and Jude Law bump into each other. And obviously there's the love story, which, like, cute, beautiful, glamorous people. But then the Kate Winslet, Jack Black love story is where my heart is. And there's also a little elderly man who is like, he's like given up on, he's like this famous Hollywood writer, I want to say, and he's give or director, I don't remember, but he like has given up on his life and he's like, I'm no one, I'm nothing, blah blah blah, and she's like, no. And so she kind of like helps rehab him, and like he has this lifetime achievement award thing. Anyway, I'm giving away the whole plot now, but yeah, Jack Black and Kate Winslet Jack Black and Kate Winslet, like, anyway, Jack Black is forever in my heart ever since, like, anyway, that WAP video that he did in his Speedo. Oh, so good. Anyway.
So good. It's so funny. Like, whenever I watch The Holiday or think about it, I actually think of it as like two separate films. Like, you have the like Jude Law, Cameron Diaz, which I'll be completely honest is not my favorite plot line. Vanilla. Like, I'm like, I'm like, let's get back to Hollywood. I need to see Kate and Arthur and Jack Black. Like, let's go back to there. That storyline, like, whew.
Yeah.
Very
different than Elf, though.
Very different. Very different. Yes. Very, very different.
Lex, what's your favorite holiday movie?
You know, I was just trying to think about that. And I think for me, it's a toss-up. I really love, I can't think of the name now.
Who's in it? What's it
about? Christmas Story. A Christmas Story. Classic. I think just because we watched it so much as a kid. But my other one is Scrooge with Bill Murray. It's the tale of a Christmas Story. But it was made in, I think, 1989 is when it released. And Bill Murray is like the CEO of essentially ABC. And they are doing a TV adaptation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. He's an asshole and has like completely forgotten who he was. And the woman that he loves is like, she works for a nonprofit in a homeless shelter. And he's just kind of like removed himself from her. And so his previous boss comes back and haunts him and is like, you're going to be visited by three ghosts. And Carol Kane plays the ghost of Christmas present and is so funny. Like,
I don't know who that is.
Oh my God. Oh, have you seen Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt? Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, her landlady? The landlord. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Carol
She's
Kane.
Great.
She's so funny in this. She's kind of like a wild tooth fairy. And then the ghost of Christmas past is this like Jersey like cab driver. And it's brutal. It's such a good movie.
Incredible. This sounds like a absolute agent of chaos.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
If we're talking our favorite retelling of A Christmas Carol, then I have to go with A Diva's Christmas Carol, starring Vanessa Williams as Ebony Scrooge.
Julia, this is why we're friends. You are the only other person I've ever met who has seen that movie. It is my favorite. I love A Diva's Christmas Carol.
Carissa, have you seen it?
Oh my God. Okay. No.
So I'm going to not tell you as much about this plot as The Holiday, obviously, because I don't want to ruin it. But I mean, well, it's A Christmas Carol, so how can I ruin it? It's always the same. Vanessa Williams is she plays Ebony Scrooge, and she's literally a diva. She basically, she's like the Beyonce. She used to be in a trio, and then they broke up. She went off to have a solo career, and she basically was just like, not saying Beyonce is like this, but she was basically like, I'm better than all of you, and forgot about everybody. And her former bandmate is played by Chili from TLC. And so it's just basically like this. It's very glamorous. It's very bougie. It's like over the top. It's campy. It's That's why I love it. Because I feel like so many retellings take it so seriously, but this one is like the soundtrack is banging. It's campy. It's over the top. There's obviously a lot of fur coats. Like, it's primo. It's great.
That sounds amazing.
It's great. It was.
What is it called? I think it's aired... called Diva?
A Diva's Christmas Carol.
Diva's Christmas Carol. Yeah. Okay, I'm writing it down because it sounds entirely up my alley.
Oh, yeah.
Do it. It's so good.
And then let us know.
I will.
I'm trying to, I think you can stream it somewhere. I should, I think I'm going to need to watch that later. I'm only watching retellings of A Christmas Carol this holiday season, apparently. I've seen two productions of A Christmas Carol already, and I'm about to see a third in like a week and a half. So what up? And now I'm trying to like find the book so I can read it.
Yeah.
So you're going hard.
Yeah. Download an audiobook version with Hugh Grant narrating? Yes. So I'll be listening to that later.
I just like heard his voice in my mind, like his specific cadence.
Yeah.
Anyway. So Carissa, back to what we were talking about before we went on this very topical and appropriate for the season tangent. You were saying you've gone through this path of like a lot of, you know, you've been on this highway, a lot of twists and turns, got off the off ramp a few exits early, did some scenic route sightseeing, got back on, did your thing, and now you're having another kind of renaissance. So I know what it is, but will you tell the people that don't what's on the horizon for you?
Yes, I would love to. So I recently quit my day job. Maybe it's been about a month or so ago.
Yeah,
I was working in a gallery as a preparator, so installing all the exhibitions and just handling the incoming and outgoing artwork. And I found that it just wasn't a right fit, and I just wasn't happy. And I decided to just take the leap and start running my own business. So I am going to be running a business. I'm still thinking about the name for it. It might just be my first name, but photography and makeup services. So I'm going to offer, you know, individual photography packages, and then also a dual makeup and portrait package where I'll be doing the makeup and portrait services in the same session. And I've already gotten a couple of clients this month, and I already made rent.
Nice.
And I am so excited about that. It feels like for some reason I quit my job and I wasn't nervous. Which is very not like me. Usually big changes like that, I need to have plan A through Z for things that don't work out. But I was just like, no, like, this is what feels right. So I've just got to try. Otherwise, I mean, I'm already not happy. What's going to happen if I try and then I'm not happy again? I'll just figure it out. You know, what's the worst that could happen is that, you know, I'm still in the troubleshooting phases of figuring out what I want. But everyone has been so amazing and like so supportive, like, all my friends and family have been so encouraging of this, and it's really incredible. So I've also lived in the Bay Area my whole life. It's very difficult to keep a friend crew out here because everyone just keeps leaving, which is very difficult. Mm-hmm. My best friend actually moved to Greenpoint, and I visited her a few months ago. Greenpoint is in Brooklyn, New York, and I fell in love with the neighborhood. And now that I'm doing photo and makeup, I'm going to try and like make my way over there into New York and, you know, get my way into the fashion scene and try and just develop a client base there and, you know, meet lots of people. So that's what's on the horizon for me. That's happening in a few months, which is insane to think about. Oh my gosh.
So exciting.
Thank you. Yeah. So that's what's happening for me. I'm going for it. and things are falling into place. Like I started assisting this other photographer. She's kind of taken me under her wing. Her name's Lisa Wortman. She's an incredible lifestyle and fitness photographer in the Bay. And I've known her for a few years. And so she's kind of mentoring me with that. Like, I can kind of go to her for any questions that I have. Cause like, I've never run a real business before. Like, I don't know what mm-hmm. I'm doing. I know what I'm doing, but there's still so many things I need to learn and want to learn. So it's nice mm-hmm. to have that just so organically fell into place. Like, as soon as I quit my job, she put something out on Instagram that was like, does anyone have any friends that are photo editors? Like, I'm looking for somebody that could help. I was like, I know how to use those things. I know how to use Photoshop mm-hmm. and Lightroom. So I reached out to her and I was like, I don't have a job right now. This sounds perfect. And she was like, oh my God, I've been thinking about hiring a studio assistant. And I was like, oh, fantastic. This is like just perfect. But things just happen. Like, it's something about like positive momentum. I quit my job with this like positive mindset of feeling like confident in the way things were going to roll out, which was a strange thing or an mm-hmm. out of character thing for me to feel with like huge changes like that. But I really feel like it sent some sort of energy out into the world being like, okay, she's ready for this. Like she's ready to talk about this. She's ready to pursue different leads. Like here they are. Yeah. And I'm just trying to ride that wave, trying to keep positive momentum going. And I've been working so much, like developing marketing materials and just trying to get everything off the ground, emailing clients and doing all that. And I've already made rent for this month. I mean, it feels like so huge. Like, it was so difficult for me to do that consistently with painting because it just takes so long to develop a body of work. But I'm on a great trajectory, and it feels really exciting.
I love that. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thanks. I agree with you. I feel like you know, I don't know if you're spiritual or what your or religious or what your belief is, but I feel like a lot of the times there is a greater power, and define that however you want. Define that as the universe. Define that as extraterrestrials. Define that as God. However you want to define. Define it as, you know, we're all Sims and someone's, you know, playing the game. However you want to define it. But I feel like whatever greater force there is, I like to think it's, you know, the universal force. And I'm like, so many times, like as smart as we are, we're like, oh, we're the smartest species on this planet. I think that is ultimately one of our biggest disadvantages because we overthink so much. And I feel like there is this greater force that the only thing it's waiting for us to do is get out of our own way. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm waiting for you to be ready for this. Because I have it. It's gift wrapped. It's super cute. I have it sitting right there. When you tell me you're ready, I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I'm not religious at all, but I totally subscribe to that. It's just whenever I feel I'm ready and I'm most confident, there's something about energy too. And I don't know, other people mm-hmm. can pick up on your energy. And it's like, if you're not giving off an energy that you're ready for it, people don't believe you, or people subscribe to that. So it's like, you just have to be really in touch with that. And I feel like I finally got to that point. It's like, this is what I'm doing. I'm putting out a plan. I'm moving to New York, all the way across the country, away from my mom, which I'm really scared about. And like a Californian in the snow, that'll be fun for everyone to see.
Yeah.
But I mean, I couldn't be more confident about these decisions. And, you know, again, like if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. But I'm at least going to go. I'm going to try. I'm going to pursue these things that I love and just go for it. And there's a lot of privilege. I will say there's a lot of privilege in me being able to do that. Like I had a savings, you know, to be able to fall back on. It's not like, so like for anyone listening, like it's not it's not something anybody can just do. So I recognize that. And I feel very lucky to be able to have the space to pursue my art passions and create this life that I really want for myself. So instead of like me getting in my own way and not like taking advantage of this time or this opportunity, like I'm just going for it. But yeah, I will say it's like, I feel very lucky. I feel very, very lucky and very grateful just for how things have happened to set up this opportunity for myself. Not to say that it's like easy or anything, but
right.
It takes some planning. It takes some money, you know, to put to set aside. Like investing in a business is a lot of money. I did not realize how expensive a makeup kit was going to be. And I'm still building that and, you know, slowly figuring all of that out. But here I am. Here I'm going. If I have to eat ramen noodles and like baked potatoes for a long time, that's fine. You know, I'll go for walks.
Yep. Well, luckily you're moving to a place that has delicious like dollar slices of pizza. So
yes.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for that. I'll be taking people's pizza recommendations soon as well. Best slice in the city.
Well, you know, I grew up in New York City. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have a lot of, more than Pizza Rex, I just have a lot of fun, like people to introduce you to and things to talk about offline. So we'll talk about that. But I think gratitude, what you were saying, gratitude is so important. And it's the other piece of it, right? It's being open to receiving all of the things that you want. And then it's also expressing gratitude for being given those gifts, for sure.
Totally.
So I know money is one of those things and opportunity is one of those things that maybe not all of us have access to, but what is something, like what is a piece of advice or even like, I don't know, a suggestion that you would have that is attainable for anyone that maybe wants to pursue something and they feel that trepidation or that uncertainty?
Spend your free time researching. I mean, that's a part of it, but I think the reason that I felt so, maybe the reason I felt so confident about quitting my job and just going for it full throttle was I have this picture of how I want to feel in my life. I want to be happy. I want to have a balanced work-life situation. Mm-hmm. I want to have my friends around me and a community that supports me. I want to be able to pursue my creative passions and also like my own personal work. So creating this like really healthy balance is this big goal for my life. And once I figured out that big goal, I was like, okay, what could the things be that could create that for me? And it was like, I want to do makeup and photography. Where is my niche going to be the best? Probably New York. Oh, my friend's already over. My best friend is already over there. I have family on the East Coast. Like, I could make this work. Maybe it's over there that I need to go. Things kind of evolve over that. So figuring out how you want to feel in your life, starting there and working backwards, I think really helped me. I don't know if that's tangible. That's amazing.
Yeah. No, that is 100%. So I think one thing that I do want to point out to people is that you are like, I'll say it for you. I don't know if you'll say it for yourself. I know you're on the humble side, but it's not only that you're doing these things and that you've studied these things, but I've seen your work and your work is absolutely stunning. Like it is, it is romantic, but also vibrant. And you manage to capture the most, it comes through to me, like you're capturing the most authentic and best parts of the people you're photographing. You're capturing, you're taking their photos. But It's just, it's beautiful. You have an amazing eye for that, and your makeup work is incredible. Where can the people find you? Where can they book you? Go ahead and pimp yourself out to the people.
Thank you so much. That was so sweet. I'm blushing. My Instagram
handle. You are. I can see it. You are. It's so cute.
My Instagram handles, I literally don't remember them. I need to look at them on my phone right now. My photo on is Diaz Photo Studio _. And my makeup account is Tulip Gloss _. So tulip like the flower, gloss like lip gloss. So those are my two accounts. And that's where you can find me. That's where you can book me. There's all types of information on there. My marketing materials that I work so hard on are there. My highlights.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where you can find me. Let's get connected. Let's do it. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Yes. I love it. I love it so much. And then, so yeah, people in the Bay Area can go ahead, book you. And if they want to book you out for further, they can probably just pay for your travel and book you for that. And then you're going to be in New York as of May?
Yeah, that's the plan. May.
Amazing. All right. Well, we wanted to just end on a quick little high note. Is there anything this week, be it a TV show, a movie, a book, whatever, that you are loving that is giving you that is giving you love, it's giving you life, it's something that you want to release out and share with the world?
Oh my gosh.
You can't be all work, no play.
I have been. I have
been. Well, then, be like,
this was really intense.
Let this be your official sign from the universe coming through me that maybe today you play a little.
Oh, okay. I think that is a very smart idea. I had a really crazy week because I made rent, which is amazing. And now I'm on this high of like, let's keep working. But no, I should probably chill. I'm going to watch that Christmas movie that you guys recommended.
A Diva's Christmas Carol?
Yes.
I'm going to watch that.
Everyone should watch that.
Yes. Highly recommend.
Collective recommendation of the week.
There you go.
I can't wait.
Amazing, Carissa. Thank you so much for being here, for sharing your journey with us. All the best to you. We are going to be keeping tabs and staying in contact with you. And listeners and watchers, since our episodes are now on YouTube, anyone that's listening to this episode, watching us, go ahead and go into the show notes where we will also link all of Carissa's socials so you can check out her beautiful work for yourself. But thank you so much, Carissa.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yay. My ass is asleep. 3, 2, 1.
Yay!
We hope you enjoy that episode. It's taken us like 4 takes to get this outro right.
Yeah, this is take 4. It's been a wild ride. Julia hurt herself. There was some burping happening.
Yeah.
Lots of tangents.
To be fully transparent, this is like the last recording of the year that we're doing.
Yeah.
So I think we're just leaving it all out there.
Ayo. We're having a nice time. Are you burping again? If you're gonna do it, burp into the mic.
Okay, well, next time, I promise.
Okay, good. Jeez,
I was trying to be ladylike.
Ah, fuck that. Who cares?
Okay, that's fair.
What does that
that's
even fair. Mean?
Burr.
No.
Sorry, Carissa.
Lord in heaven. Yeah, Carissa, you're a gem. Thank you for putting up with us. Yeah, that's all I got. I do have a very quick little reco. I don't know if it's reco of the week, but my recommendation is specifically for me is I've been like going through and watching every rendition of A Christmas Carol that I can find, and I'm having a great time. They're so like goofy. So far, my favorite one has been The Muppets Christmas Carol. Michael Caine's the best. Classic. Ebenezer Scrooge. But so I guess my reco is like
if there's a story or something that you're really into, just dive all in. Just fucking head first. It's, for me, it's like bringing so much joy and like getting a lot of memories out of it. It's making me feel nice and cozy for the holidays. So yeah, I guess my reco is obsess over something and don't apologize for it.
I love that. I double down.
Hell yeah.
Upvote. So. Yeah. Cosign.
Thank you.
All the buzzwords.
Thank you. Thank you. Circle up, boots on the ground. Feedback loop. You're going to escalate that to leadership. I'll stop. I'm sorry. If you guys never hear from me again, if Julia just goes solo after this, this is why.
I don't know if you realized this earlier, but when we were off air, when we had just logged on for the very first time and seen each other's faces within the first 5 minutes of speaking, you said, I'm going to noodle on that.
Oh, no.
And it was like an ice pick to the brain. Just that phrase. And the fact that we use it in like our regular like colloquial conversations, I might burn this world to the ground.
To be fair though, like noodle on that, I know a lot of people in corporate use it. I feel like I've been using that for a long ass time. Cause my mom used to say that. She'd be like, if I'd ask about like, can I go on a trip with my friends? She'd be like, let me noodle on that. Mm-hmm. But I will say now it's like kind of makes my skin crawl just a little bit. You're like, no, stop stealing my phrases from my childhood.
Ugh. We should come up with another one. Like a new version of I'm gonna noodle on that.
Yeah. I was gonna say I'll noodle on that, but never mind. Julia's so mad at me.
The flakes on the side of my face.
I had to stop her screaming.
We love you guys. I love you.
We love you.
Everyone. Yeah.
Everybody loves everybody, I hope. Maybe. That's the real recommendation of the week is love everybody.
Love yourself. You know? First and foremost.
First and foremost. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
We appreciate you guys so much for tuning in and listening to us and bearing with us through all of the idiocy that comes out of my mouth.
Happy holidays.
If you guys are looking for a good like Christmas album, Leslie Odom Jr. has two of them. They're both phenomenal. Okay.
All right. He's amazing.
Treat yourself.
Those albums are great. I would say oftentimes folks also sleep on Kelly Clarkson's Christmas album.
Kelly.
And then for me, growing up, you know, having the childhood that I had, listening to a lot of R&B, Let Us Never Forget Destiny's Child Christmas.
So good. Okay.
Doesn't it feel like Christmas? Doesn't it feel like Christmas?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. 100%.
There you go.
A gift certificate to get my favorite CD. I'm like, maybe not. Anyway, thank you so much. Please rate, review, like, follow, all of the things. I don't know how technology works, but I hope you'll figure it out because we need you to.
Yes, to keep us going. That would be wonderful.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
And a happy holidays.
Ooh. Da 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 da. That's it, I'm done. I'm sorry.